Welcome to the F4 Podcast, where your hosts, Brian, Brooke, Charles, and Vanessa, discuss all things faith, family, friends, and fitness. What is F4? Sometimes it's a glimpse into how we navigate the world, and sometimes it's a deep dive into how we handle the four main areas of our lives. If you want to have a healthier relationship with God, family, friends, and yourself, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us as we unpack this episode. Hi, welcome to episode 23 of the F4 Podcast. My name is Vanessa Giddens, and I'm one of the F4 hosts. I'm also a CrossFit Level 3 coach. And some of you may not have any idea what any of that means. The important thing to know right now is that it took me about 10 years to get to my level 3. And I've learned a few things along the way, and I want to share some of those things with you today. But first, I want to thank those of you listening and watching. If you could follow us on Instagram and share and like the podcast, that would be greatly appreciated. We're on a variety of platforms, including Apple, Spotify, Google, Pocket, Radio Public, Breaker, Anchor, and YouTube. If you would like to be a sponsor of the show, you can message us on Instagram, Facebook, or via email at f4ncpodcast@gmail.com. And I'm joined today by some of my favorite people and our F4 regulars, my husband Charles, and our wonderful friends Brian and Brooke Marston. So not to bore you guys with too much CrossFit backstory, but it is important to note that CrossFit, at its core, is constantly varied functional fitness movements performed at relative intensity. You can go to www.crossfitaltius.com or just www.crossfit.com to learn more about what we're about. So long story short, why are you laughing at me?
Is a www necessary?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. Probably not.
It's
but
20 years ago, so www. Well,
you know,
www.
Don't tell me you're a boomer without telling me you're a boomer.
I'm not a boomer.
Sorry.
I'm not a boomer.
Oh, sorry.
But you know what I did? I double-spaced. I double spaced all of my written emails and stuff until somebody told me I didn't need to do that anymore. Yeah.
The double space after the period?
Yes.
Yeah.
I double spaced after the end of my sentences until, I don't know.
Someone kindly let
me know I didn't need to do that anymore. Okay, so sorry. Back to CrossFit. So my job as a CrossFit coach, which apparently I should stick to, is to teach people to move safely and effectively, watch them as they move, as they increase their relative intensity, give beneficial corrections along the way, and inspire them to continue to move throughout their lifetime. All of this while focusing on them as a whole person and loving them to the best of my ability, hopefully making them want to be better as people. And that's just my personal addendum to the mission of CrossFit, but I don't think CrossFit would be too mad about it. So I love coaching people in the CrossFit methodology and really working with people to help them become the best possible versions of themselves. And the longer I do it, the more I realize that a lot of the things that I teach people in the gym and the things that I teach people to focus on are things that we can really focus on outside of the gym. And the three biggest are the first three in the movement triage, if you will. And it's grip, stance, and focus. Basically, working with people to fix their hands, their feet, and their face.
Fix your face.
Yeah.
That's a new one.
I like that. You know what I mean.
Fix your face.
Fix your face. So I want to talk, all of us do CrossFit, so I want to talk for a few minutes so people watching and listening that maybe don't have experience with CrossFit understand the importance of teaching people about their grip in the gym. Let's talk about in the gym first.
Hmm.
So for me, a very recent occurrence has come, as we've been involved with in regards to you, and that's holding on to the rig, the pull-up rig, the thing that we use that's in the middle of the gym for performing gymnastics movements. Mm-hmm. And you've had recent experience with adjusting your grip.
Yes. I have to loosen my grip because I sometimes want to hold on so tightly. And I think there's a fear piece in that of falling from a high place. So learning to loosen my grip at the right time, but don't completely let go. It's helping me do better, make progress.
Do you want to sing the song?
Hold on loosely. It did pop into my head.
We might get in trouble if we start singing 38 Special.
Because it's 38 Special?
Well, no, because sure.
Because of it's what 38 special is.
Because it's a gun. Yeah.
Oh, no, I actually meant from a copyright standpoint, but sure.
I think it's okay to sing it. Not okay to play it.
Yeah.
I can insert it when we do the notes. It'd be fine. We'll just play that the whole time.
I think the rules are that, if we were to just, if he were to burst into song, that would be okay, but we couldn't. Play it.
Okay. All right. Well, have at it.
Instrumentally or...
Yeah, I'm not feeling it right now.
But don't quote me on that because I'm not an expert in that.
I'm not either.
Yeah, that's been really helpful to help me know when to loosen my grip and get my hands in the right spot to get in the right place. Because what holding on too tightly was doing is preventing me from being where I needed to be. And so much of that is timing. And so much in life is timing and how you say something, who you say something to, at what time, with whatever's going on in their lives it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can say the same thing, but in the wrong timing, it can really be hurtful or not helpful. And then the vice versa, it can be very helpful. Mm-hmm. So paying attention to what's going on with other people is important. But going back to the gym piece, yeah, it's really good. And the thing about that is I was not recognizing how to change it. But it was a collaborative conversation from Brooke saying, you need to get your hands in the right spot. Well, I don't know how to get my hands in the right spot. To Vanessa saying, at this point, you need to then try to move your hands in the right spot. And it clicked. And that was yesterday. So perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah. No, 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Yeah, my days are skewed sometimes. 2 days ago.
Was that Thursday? 2 days ago was Thursday.
It was Wednesday.
It would have been
3 days ago.
It was Wednesday.
I have not slept well the last few days.
We're talking
they're running
about
together.
Today. Yes.
Yeah. 3 days ago. Do I have a four?
No, I think we're on three. I think we're going to settle on three. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's funny how there are times in the gym when it's important to know when to loosen your grip. There are times when it's important to know when to hold on more tightly to something so that you can continue to hold on to it, for instance, when you're trying to carry heavy things. And it's also important to know how to hold something correctly. For instance, utilizing a hook grip.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to enable you to do more, or changing the width of your grip or knuckles more over, just all the different things that we can adjust, the adjustments that we can make that, to your point, can get us where we can, that allow us to put ourselves or objects that we're trying to manipulate into the best possible position.
Mm. I was thinking about how, and this, I don't want to take you off track, but I was thinking about how there are some things that, in terms of grip, that you can hold on to tighter than you need to, and it doesn't really matter for that movement. Mm-hmm. It just affects the other things that you may be doing in the workout. Like, I can hold on too tightly to the handles of the rower. or I can hold on too tightly when I'm doing a farmer's carry or a deadlift. And it doesn't make any of those movements better or worse. I'm not negatively impacting any of those things. But later, if there's another movement coupled with it where I need to be able to hang on a little bit tighter, but I've worn out my grip by hanging on too tightly to these other things, then I don't have the strength that I need to do what I need to do in the other movement. So grip is, you know, it has that aspect of each individual movement, but there is also a cumulative effect that happens depending on what movements are paired together, where it may not seem like it's having a bad effect. I'm holding on real tight, but oh, it's not really messing me up. Oh, but wait a minute, now it has messed me up. Mm-hmm. It has destroyed me. So,
and there can be times, you guys might not have experienced this, but I have, when you are holding on to something so tightly, unnecessarily, you're holding on to it so tightly, and you don't realize until you do let go of it how much pressure was in your hands and how it's, you know, there's, it's like, ugh! When you do let go of it, it's really painful to let go, but then you feel better.
That's really deep.
Deep thoughts.
Well, to me, when you guys were talking, you made me think about identity and how in the gym, identity is something that where someone is placing their identity often comes out. And so for me, performance has been attaching my identity to my performance has been something I've dealt with my whole life. And so when things are going good, it's easy for me to be like, oh, things are good. But when things aren't going the way I want them to, if I'm not careful, I can get in a bad mental spot and begin to self-hate or to shut other people out. And if I'm not sleeping well, like this morning, the last few days, it's just been rough. I was doing that and I didn't like it. And then it was like this cumulative effect of there was a little bit of failure or missing something I wanted to do. And then I got frustrated with myself. And I could see, like, I'm like, I know this is wrong. I know I don't want to do this. And yet I'm doing it. And so I was really I was fighting with myself internally. And it was like a spiritual battle going on of don't grab a hold of that identity. And I was in and out of it the entire workout. And I did not like it. But I was vulnerable because I was sleep deprived on top of it. And so I think we can grip a hold of an identity that's false because our identity is not found in our performance. It shouldn't be. I think it is for a lot of people, but it should be in something more transcendent.
Yeah. I think the first thing that I thought of when I looked at this question, the first thing I wrote, it's the only thing I wrote on the front page of any of the notes, was suicide grip. So for me, thinking about grip, in general, and we talk about this, I talk about this a lot. Maybe some people don't. Some people in the gym, in fact, a lot of coaches encourage this behavior, which is mind-boggling to me. But the idea of a suicide grip, and for those of you that don't know that are watching, you can see this. If you're listening, you're going to have to envision this. But if I have a hold of a bar and I wrap my whole hand around the bar, that's a normal grip. That's the grip that we want to stay with. That's a safe grip. You can loosen it up, not fall off. You can tighten it up, not fall off. But then there's this other thing called a suicide grip, and that's where your thumb comes over, and now the only thing that's holding you onto the bar are your fingertips or your fingers and that grip strength that's in your forearms that allows you to hang onto the bar. And the only thing I kept thinking about during that whole time was no matter tight or loose, you never want a suicide grip, regardless of how tight or how loose you grip a bar or a rig or a ball or whatever. But you can't determine the amount of tightness really from a suicide grip standpoint because you have no, that opposing thumb is not over and you can't actually apply the force into the bar the way you need to. So you're always at the mercy of your grip until it falls apart. And then once it falls apart, you don't know when it's going to fall apart. But I've seen it happen. We've seen people fall off the rig like before multiple times. Like, and you just don't know. You think, oh, my grip, I'm good to hang on to this bar. And then all of a sudden, you're not. And it's like the rug got pulled out from underneath you and you're on your back, which is a scary place to be in the gym. You don't want to do that. But that's all I kept thinking about with this question. And the tighten and loose we'll get to in a minute. But I was just like, oh, like of anything, you don't want to do that.
When you're thinking about that grip, that suicide grip, you're leaving a large part of the bar exposed where you have no contact with what's going on.
Mm.
And that's one of the reasons why it's so bad. And this is coming from someone who has fallen off mid toes to bar rep and landed right on her bum and was able to squat for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It's quite the painful experience. But yeah, you're creating a blind side for your hands, essentially, is what you're doing. You're leaving this whole area of the bar exposed, and you don't know what's going on there.
Wow.
Okay, sorry, I just interjected my thoughts.
No, I think it's great. I didn't think of it that way. Now I have a lot of thoughts in my head about that.
Yeah, no apology necessary.
Like, blind side, like, I mean, we talk, you know, everybody has blind sides. They don't know. They don't see it. Like, you have blind spots, blind sides, blind spots all over your life. I think we were talking about that, or we were all talking this morning about that specifically, about, you know, I don't know where those spots are. And to your point, if I'm not connected, I'm not going to know where those are.
If you're creating them on purpose, it's suicide. If you're creating a blind spot purposely, knowing it's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing you could get hurt.
Turning your head the other way because you don't want to deal with it.
And at a minimum, it's self-harm.
But you hear people in the gym all the time. I hear it. So I have one person in my head that just is standing out right now. But I can do so much better when I'm when I do a suicide grip. I can do better.
Wow.
Look at you. Good job.
Thanks.
Well, there's a lack of trust there. You know, that when someone thinks they can do better, even though it's not better, it's proven not to be better.
Right.
What are they basing that on? They're basing it on their experience, but their experience is limited, and they're not trusting someone outside of themselves. And so they're going to continue to get the same results until they decide to trust outside of themselves.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons why a coach is great to have and another set of eyes, and why I would recommend CrossFit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ding.
For life inside and outside the gym.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. So, Brian, we already talked about where you need to loosen your grip in the gym. Where do you need to loosen your grip in life?
Well, the identity piece, and to me, that's a life thing, because in life I can attach my identity to my performance in any aspect. Like, even on a Sunday morning, did I communicate well? Did I communicate effectively? And if I feel like I didn't, I can beat myself up, be like, oh, you didn't say that the way you should have. Or if I have an interaction that was lesser than it should be, I can begin to say my performance in this interaction, or my performance in this speaking, in this communication, whether it's public or personal. Not that that can be personal on a stage, but you know what I'm saying. You got a big crowd versus four people or one person. I can beat myself up, and because I'm basing my self-worth on my performance. And so I need to let go of that identity. But it's a process of me continuously unraveling where I'm attaching my self-worth to the different places in life. And I've gotten better, but it still is a battle. Like, it's never going to go away. So I don't know if I answered your question.
You did.
Yeah.
It's always a battle.
Always a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't love it.
I think part of that is also the fact that the way you're wired, you are wired for achievement and accolades, and so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you're doing great, Brian. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah, so it's interesting you said that. I know you're being funny. But on the flip side, when people have told me I'm great, because people have told me I'm great, I can't attach my identity to that either, because I might be great in the sense of, it's not really being great, but that God loves me. Now, part of his family because of my relationship with Jesus, and I'm secure and I have nothing to prove. I know all those things intellectually, but sometimes I just don't need to get too high or too low. Right. Yeah. And I've dealt with both, which is ugly.
You reference that book, You Are Special, all the time. And if you haven't read it, it's really a children's book by Max Lucado, but it's not really for kids, but the stars and the dots,
yeah.
You know, you don't want to let either one stick.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, the other thing about me is when I'm tired, I cry a lot easier. So she's talking about this book, You Are Special, and the dots and the stars, which we don't need to go into all the details of that.
No, but you should check out the book. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have it upstairs. We can link to it in the notes, too.
Yeah,
we have
it's
it.
A good one.
I was speaking to kids at a Christian school years ago, and I read the book. And I remember grown adults with tears streaming down their face. And I actually went back to that moment when you're talking, and I'm just like, it's a big deal of attaching our self-worth to our performance and what other people think. And dying to that is hard. And I haven't arrived yet, even in the expectations I have on myself. And are these from God, or are these from other people, or whatever? One of the things that's really helping me is every morning I'm praying a prayer that I give everyone and everything to you, God. And this is inclusive in that process. But I take it back. And I don't even realize I do it. I was praying that prayer this morning, and I go to the gym and dealing with what I was frustrated about.
Yeah.
Not doing to the level I wanted to do it to.
Yeah.
Was part of what I was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And then that internal battle of, oh, this is right. I know this is right. But it's hard to embrace sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it is for everybody on some level.
Oh, I know that.
So, what about you?
I think the thing that comes to mind, the easiest, fastest one, as far as loosening the grip, has to do with parenting our kids, being at the phase of life where we are, our youngest about to graduate from high school, our oldest just having graduated from college. It is a strange place to be in to still be a parent. Like, that doesn't go away. Like, it's not like, oh, they grow up and then you're no longer a parent. Like, the heartstrings are still attached. The relationship is still there. I'm still a parent. They still look to me as a parent. Mm-hmm. But what they need from me is so much different than what they needed, you know, 10, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it is really hard. Like, when you see certain things, or they have certain emotions, or it can be really easy to default to grab on tight. Mm-hmm. It's the reflex. It's like, you know, when a kid is little and about to run into the street, you physically grab them as hard as you can. Like, you grab on tight because it's safety, and I will help them, you know. But in emotional ways and mental ways and all that, there's still that grabbing on tight. And so I would say that is probably the most challenging. I think I think I'm better today than I was 3 years ago, you know, just because the process started, you know, it started really 5 years ago. Well, Micah was 18 5 years ago. So I think I'm better today than I was 3 years ago. And I think different personalities of our kids, you know, it's easier or more challenging, or they don't care as much. I can mess up a little bit more, and some are a little more forgiving in that area. But I would say that's the... But you were talking about that, praying that prayer each morning of, I give everyone and everything to you, God, and that he has talked about this app and this practice for I don't know how long. You've talked about it. And finally, like 2 weeks ago, I was like...
It's been plenty of years. It's been a lot of years because I tried it. Yeah.
And about 2 weeks ago, I was like, okay, I can do that. And it has been so helpful to, you know, have that mindset and that shift. But you were talking about how it's so easy to take it back. And it wasn't today. I think it was either Thursday or yesterday where, you know, I have that moment and I'm praying and I'm giving everything to God. Like, and there's the whole, like, whatever it is that you need to give to God, just like linger there, you know, and like be okay with taking a few moments. And so I'm like, okay, I'm good. And it's just drawing to the end of the closing out of the prayer time. And I started thinking about this stuff again. I'm like, I think I need to start this over. Like, I don't think this worked because I'm already like, I know that this prayer is almost over and those things are already creeping back in. Like, I'm not even finished with praying yet. And it's, that is not good. That wasn't great, but I was aware of it. So at least I didn't have that blind spot going. I was aware that I was struggling that day to give those things to God. So definitely that would be the loosening part. And I think the tightening part is definitely on really clinging to who Jesus is and who he says I am. Like, and letting that be where I put my effort, you know, in what I choose to do, what I choose to say yes to, what I choose to say no to, letting that be the lens through which, you know, and that feeds into focus a little bit. Honestly, I don't want to jump ahead, but like those things are really pretty related for me when it comes to the tightening up the grip. I just think it's easy to say, oh, this will bring me satisfaction and kind of chase after those things. But really it's clinging to who Jesus is and who he says I am that I have to just stay. Cling tight there. My grip won't wear out, you know?
So the way that they describe it in the Pause app is benevolent detachment. So you're detaching from operating like you're in control, and it's being kind to yourself, acknowledging that you're not in control and you're giving it over to God. And so I think about that in terms of loosening. You're loosening that perception in your mind that you are in control. And the second piece of the guided prayer meditation that we're doing is union with God. So you're grabbing a hold of who God is and who he is, his character. Like this morning, they talked about the aspects of God's character, that God is good and God is loving. And when we're struggling in life, we can forget those things in terms of who God is and who we are and what our role is and what his role is. And so I can definitely see how this applies. And it just hit me when you were talking how it applies to the Pause app we're doing. Mm-hmm. And the loosening and the gripping tightly.
Well, and what you just said, again, not to like take too much time, but even just the goodness of God, that aspect is something that has come up very consistently for me over the last month or so. But hanging on tightly to the fact that God is good. And so when we don't understand what he's doing or why things in the world are the way that they are, or when bad things happen, or whatever, that lens through which we have to view things. We don't have to, but like coming back to, well, God is good. He's never been anything else. So we have to go back to that, hang on to that, and then try to figure everything else out at that starting place versus, you know, being in total chaos. So.
That's good.
Very good.
How about you?
Why are you putting it back on me right now?
Well, because I am.
I'm in charge here.
She's the captain of the ship.
Yeah, well, you know what? The ship needs to be turned a different direction. So
no.
Wowzers.
Go ahead.
Wow. That would actually be directed toward us because we're the ones just speaking.
No.
So don't feel bad about it.
No.
But don't let this mutiny happen.
Exactly. I'm just like, wow. Okay. So in the gym, we didn't discuss you're in the gym.
Mm-mm. No, we didn't.
What's your in the gym before we move on then? Give you more time to think.
I wrote my answer down.
Okay. So in the gym, you mean like specific, sorry, I can't mm-hmm. say specific. We practiced S's before we even got started. Yes. I deserve that. I deserve that.
Specific.
So, are you talking about like with specific movements in the gym or just overall in the gym?
It can be either.
Well, specifically.
Okay.
Apparently. So specifically, I think we've been doing a lot of work with bar muscle ups lately, and I think the obvious thing is realizing that I hold on really tightly with one hand mm-hmm. more so than the other. Mm-hmm. So learning to I can say no letters. So, learning to loosen the grip on the one that wants to hang on so tight and to just trust that whole process, I think would be the specific thing. But I also do think that there's, you know, a piece of identity wrapped up, I think, for everybody. You know, when people talk about you in the gym, there is a level to which, you know, whether it's what I should be doing or what I should be capable of or what I do on a certain day, sometimes I feel that more than others. And so I just have to say, well, I'm going to loose my grip on that because I cannot control those things. And sometimes a day is what a day is. So
as infuriating as it can be to not be able to control those things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, now you're up.
Why can't you go?
Because she wants to go last.
She said you're up.
She wants to go last.
And she's the captain and she wants the final word.
I don't have to go last. I can go now.
She doesn't care.
I can go now. I'll go. Are you? No. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You've said it. You've done it twice now. So I'm going to go ahead and go because I have a feeling that you have some very profound thoughts that you want to share.
Yes. No. See that now you're tying your thought of me into my performance, and that's not good. No. No.
She set you up to fail.
Exactly.
No.
I'm not profound.
I'm trying
at all.
I'm trying to. No.
In fact, now I'm not profound. In fact, I'm pretty dumb.
You're taking yourself down some notches.
Oh, all the way down the ladder rung. All the way down the rung of ladder.
Are you having performance anxiety? Yes.
Oh no.
Okay, so I will let you rest and think on that then. And
why is your face red?
On performance anxiety? No, I don't have to think on that. Sorry. This podcast has been completely derailed now. You thought it was gonna be 30 minutes. This has turned into a long one again. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, at least we're having fun, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so in the gym, I need to loosen my grip. I was thinking about this. I'd already sent these notes out, but this week when we were doing cleans, and when I was thinking about it, I could be reading too much into it, but after having a couple of not so great injuries and trying to come back and be back to where I used to be, I'm struggling now to let go of the bar on cleans in that front rack position, and I'm holding on too tight, and it's making my elbows slow, and it's making my lats feel really tight. And if I could just let go a little bit and get it on my shoulders, I could get my elbows up, and I think the whole thing would be much better. But I have to let go of the fact that my percentages are probably not what they were and be okay with that. They're probably close. I mean, they're close, mm-hmm. but I've been struggling in those upper, I'm doing fine in the lower ranges, but I've been struggling in those upper ranges with cleans and squats, you know, for that matter. So that's where the identity piece kind of comes in. Well, I did this before, and I don't need to totally let go of those numbers because I think I can get them back. I just need to be okay with it taking time mm-hmm. to get there and continuing to put in the work while the time is going.
Mm-hmm. Not just waiting for them to show back up?
Right. Or saying, well, I'll just never be good at these again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Why try?
Right. Right. So that's that in the gym. And as far as tightening my grip, it's more of a general gym thing, and it is tightening my grip on the gym a little bit more and not being timid about dealing with certain people. I'm not one to be afraid of a conversation with somebody if it's just that person that it's going to affect. But if it's going to affect more than one person, I think I struggle with how to put all those pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that and that all consequently translates to my life, where I need to tighten my grip, how I need to let go of some things that I like to do, and just as much as I hate it, and I don't want to allow myself to get into a position where I'm running myself into the ground and not taking any time, you know, to do anything. But I need to tighten up my grip on some priorities and loosen my grip on some of the selfish behaviors that I can say all day it's for my sanity, and to some degree it probably is, but if I get the things done that need to get done, then maybe I'll have more time to do the things I want to do 1 year.
Well, I do think it's always a struggle to find, and I don't like the word balance because
it's a myth.
It's a terrible word.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But I think that it is always a challenge to find the ebbs and flows of, we never run out of things that have to be done. There are always things that have to be done. So if we wait, it will be like Cinderella. Like, the jobs never get done. And as soon as you get jobs done, more jobs show up. Like, mm-hmm. That's the way life works.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, it can't be all fun all the time either. So,
yeah. Now you're up.
I mean, as far as loosening or tightening my grip in the gym, I don't know. I couldn't come up with anything really from that standpoint. I think if anything, maybe tightening my grip up on how I perceive myself at this point at 50 in the gym. I've been pretty okay for the last couple of years saying I'm older, I don't care if I ever hit numbers, and kind of allowed myself just to kind of float through workouts, float through all the workouts. It's easier that way. But I think if anything, I probably need to tighten up on to say, okay, I'm not dead yet. I need to stop.
Like, I'm not dead yet.
Don't get close. You will be in just a minute. I think I probably need to put a little bit more effort in at times. In the gym to get more out of the gym. I think I could probably do that. That's going to take a lot because my, if I'm being completely honest, my care is pretty low in that world right now. Not that it's not a priority, because working out still will always, it's always going to be a priority for me at this point. It's never going to not be that. Just because if I don't work out, I think I will probably have some monumental problems in other areas of my life, from a mental standpoint, from a physical standpoint, obviously.
Yeah, your health.
Yeah, I think I would have some problems if I wasn't doing something in the gym. But I probably could put a little bit more effort into what I'm doing. So that would probably tighten. I don't know anywhere in the gym that I really need to loosen. At least in my head right now, I don't see anything that I need to loosen in the gym. I've done a pretty good job of loosening some things in the past, and kind of is what it is. So, as far as life, I mean, that's like, we could be here all day, but, I think I need to loosen for me, and I'm learning, I'm going through a lot right now, and it's going to be a podcast soon. It's going to be a big podcast and a lot of things going through soon as I'm finishing up a lot of things. But I need to loosen up my grip on control. I think for me, most of my problems in relationships, and that includes my relationship with God, is in control. So I can point to some aspect, and I can always get back. It's like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, right? Or
7 degrees of separation.
7 degrees of separation, or whatever it is. You know, I'm never. It doesn't take more than 2 or 3 steps to get back to that's control. Like, so, for me, being the way I am, wired the way I am, that's just a natural. It's an easy inclination to just like grab. I'm gonna control it. And as I've gotten older, as I'm doing a lot of research lately, I've got to loosen that up. And as I've loosened up, in some ways, it's gotten much better. I've just got to trust that process to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, right? And I'm going to do it everywhere. We are having a conversation about that today, not about me specifically, but about control. And there are areas in our life that I think we need to not be naive and say there is a level of control that we do have over situations, from an attitude, from a how we attach things, how do we approach things, how are we smart about things. I do think no matter what I say, I'm always going to believe that there is part of us that has a responsibility to do the best that we can. So whether you call that control or just doing your best, I don't know what that is, but to me, we control our effort. So in some ways, so I still am always going to lean back to that, I think. But understanding that, you know, if someone gets mad at me at the gym because of whatever reason, like I can't necessarily control that if I'm doing the right thing. Right. And if I'm purposely trying to make someone upset, then that's my fault. But if I'm not doing that, I can't control that situation. I can't control that person's behavior. I can't control their thought process. So I'm not going to do that. On the same token, I'm not, like, if I try to control every aspect of, let's say, my ministry that I'm doing, it's going to fall flat. Like, I've done that and it doesn't work. So I've got to loosen that up and say, okay, it's not about me. It's not about what I can do. To your point, it's not about performance. It's not about, you know, all that stuff. It's okay, I'm just going to back up and really truly put it in God's hands, which I'm learning, and there's a lot of things I'm learning there, but really trying to do that. And I think outside of the gym, that's probably where I need to loosen.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question that just popped into my head, and it's, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but it really just hit me. Have you thought about the possibility that you, by trying to control so many aspects of your life, you are missing out on some joy? You're missing out on the opportunity to enjoy what other people have to offer and to just kind of sit back and you have always been very good about growing people ever since I've known you. But do you think that you're missing out on some joy and opportunities to grow other people by being the constant delegator and manager of things?
So loosening my grip, and you guys can't see this. You can see the paper that I'm pointing to, but this is what it says. Number one is control in all areas of my life. This would allow me to enjoy. That's what it says. Enjoy more of my family and friends, and essentially love more.
Okay, so you have thought about it.
The answer to your question
is
yes.
But you can't make that up. Yeah, when you said joy, I'm like, yes. In fact, I said enjoy.
Hey.
Yes, good job.
Oh, well. Yeah,
there you go. Yes,
okay.
I have.
Okay. I like it.
Good.
Okay. Woohoo. Are y'all done?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the next one that I want to talk about is stance and how we'll start with in the gym things, how it is important to adopt an appropriate stance for things like squatting or jerking or lunging or jumping, and how an incorrect stance can adversely affect all of those kinds of movements. So let's start with strictly gym things and we'll let it meander as it will. All right, so I'll go first. So one of the most important things is the absolute number one fundamental movement that we do in CrossFit, and that's the squat. Mm-hmm. If you do not have things appropriately aligned, you are not going to get the strength benefits from full range of motion and the joint strength and longevity benefits if things are out of alignment. If your feet are wonky, if your knees are collapsing in, if your stance is too wide, if you encompass too much floor space, you're not going to get full range of motion. If your stance is too narrow, you're not taking up enough space, you're not going to get to the bottom of it there either. Anybody have anything else?
I mean, for me, it's split jerk. And for those of you that don't know what a split jerk is, you're dipping and driving. You've got a bar in your chest. You're putting it over your head, and you are essentially catching the bar once it leaves your chest, your shoulders. You're catching the bar in for lack of an actual term, a partial squat. That's a partial split squat, or lunge is the mm-hmm. actual term that I'm looking for. Sorry, but in a lunge, and your feet, you'll have a lead leg and a trail leg. Right, and one goes out, one goes back, and you really don't want them to be right on top of each other. So once I go, I don't want them to go like this. Looking at the camera, I don't want them to go like this. I want them to go more like this, right, as I go, because that creates a wider base, to your point, a stance. And it's the lift that allows you to hold the most over your head that you can hold. So if I'm trying to lift everything that I can lift, if I split correctly and I get my legs underneath me correctly and under my hips, under my shoulders, then I can essentially hold massive amounts of weight. When I'm off, even slightly, it takes one little wrong thing before I can't hold. Even if I throw the weight up and I catch it correctly, right? It takes my right leg moving slightly an eighth of an inch in, or my hips to move slightly forward, or someone to breathe on me as I'm like, something to happen. And all of a sudden, what I should be able to hold, I can't hold anymore because I'm imbalanced, because my balance is not correct. So you said in the gym, this to me, the best example, when I thought about this, it really is kind of everything for me, because I can hold a lot on my own. Sometimes you'll jerk and you'll be what's called on railroad tracks, and you'll be straight or on skis. You'll be right in front of the other. And sometimes everything is aligned perfectly and you get away with that. You get away with being too narrow and you lift the weight and it's okay and nothing happens. But 99% of the time when that happens, there's nothing there. So by not widening up my stance or allowing other things, other people, other viewpoints, God, widen my stance up, I can't hold the weight on my own. I can't, because it'll come crumbling down. But if I'm able to somehow effectively do that, then I can hold all the weight in the world, and I could be under, you know, 400, well, probably not 400 pounds, but I could be under 300 pounds with the bar over my head, split correctly, and somebody could come over and push me, and the bar's still going to be solid. I'm okay. But if I'm too narrow with 200 pounds over my head and somebody goes like this, the bar comes crumbling down. And I think when we don't do the job of letting other people widen, and I say other people, really, it's God, widen our stance and our viewpoints and our thoughts and burdens, we can't hold anything. It just comes crumbling down. So I know you just said in the gym, but that was in the gym and outside the gym. I look at that when I thought about this question, I'm like, there's nowhere to me that represents being balanced more than that lift. And being able to, I'm glad I'm boring you.
Sorry, you're not at all.
Being able to, we should go to bed earlier. Being able to hold weight or a challenge or a situation or a person or a, you know, ministry or whatever, if we're not balanced, we're never going to be able to hold it. And it's very clear when you're too narrow, things just fall apart in the split jerk for me. And if some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but this is one of those times, go back and look what a split jerk looks like and you'll kind of get the picture.
And when you say balance, it's important to know that you're not talking about the life balance that we were just talking about, mm-hmm. It doesn't exist. You are talking about how your weight at that moment is balanced the way it should be in that moment to support the weight that you're trying to put over your head. Not a broad scope life balance, but my feet are where they need to
balance.
Be.
A physical mm-hmm. balance, yes. Yeah. Not a life balance. But that physical balance comes.
It's a metaphor still, right. But
yeah.
It's an in the moment thing, not an overarching life balance. Mm-hmm.
The other thing I thought of is you talking about having a balance of other people involved in his life, where it's not just tilted toward his viewpoints or his approach, but that there are other people being brought into the process, whether it's his ministry or at the gym or whatever, to make sure that he's having a broad set of eyes and input, which is really great. And I'll give you an example just to segue off that. Doing cleans yesterday, I haven't had someone give me too much corrective stuff recently on my cleans, but there's still plenty that can be cleaned up. No pun intended. but the thing is, Cam was mm-hmm. sitting in the gym the other day and goes, like, why was I doing something? And I didn't even realize I was doing it. But she had said something, and part of it is she's fresh eyes. You guys have been around me for a while, so it's just kind of like, yeah, that's what he does. And I really appreciated it because you forget what you do, and you naturally I'll speak for myself, will default back to bad habits, and I don't even realize I'm doing them because we don't have mirrors. I can't see it. But because I've done it wrong at times so often, it feels natural. And so I need other people to say, hey, you're basically double pulling, and you're muting your hips again, and really think about going straight up. And did I do it perfectly after that? No, I'll never clean perfectly. But I was able to make some adjustments and improvements. And again, it's something I'm thinking about now and having another set of eyes in that moment. And that was that yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm right now. It was yesterday. Was very helpful.
Well, she did stuff the other day too for you that you seem to click with. And we talked about it briefly. I think she's kind of neat in the way she coaches. She coaches different, I think, than most of us do, which is good. And you're right. She's a new perspective in the gym. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, she's been there for a year, but she really hasn't. I don't know if she just hasn't felt comfortable enough, but she hasn't really said a whole lot.
She had a baby.
Right. She had a baby and things are changing. But I think you guys seem to be clicking. I think you're listening to her, which is good. And she seems to be able to give you direction where you're taking. Well,
it's not that I don't take it well from other people. It's sometimes someone will say something, like Vanessa said something 3 days ago that really clicked with me, mm-hmm. even though Brooke was the first person to say something about it.
I just
it.
Was too sassy.
Yeah, she was making fun of me.
I was not making fun of you.
She had her sassy water that morning.
And on the inside, I was weeping.
Oh, stop.
And Vanessa's like, hey, let me give you some helpful advice. And I was like, you're my hero. But seriously, you guys still have valuable input. And I will listen to what you say. Sometimes it's just how it's said.
Mm-hmm.
It clicks differently. And mm-hmm. a fresh set of eyes yeah. or a fresh voice can sometimes make you hear differently. Even though you may have said the same thing 5 billion times. I think parenting is that way too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the familiar. And you have another voice come in and say it. And that kids are going, did you know what so-and-so said to me about wisdom? And you're like, I've said that on the you shouldn't say that.
Times.
You should not say that
yeah,
out loud.
You should never say that out loud.
Because the great thing is they're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you probably are actually the one responsible for planting all those seeds that person got to reap the harvest of. You know, you sowed all those seeds.
Mm-hmm.
But now so-and-so is getting the credit.
It's always more fun to be the harvester.
I want to get the credit.
You know, I think, though, that speaks a lot to making sure you have people in your life, whether it's in the gym or outside of the gym, that are going to talk to you in a way that is not always just affirming but are looking to help you grow. Because had you not had that, let's say with either one of those situations, and they were just affirming, oh, Brian, you're doing the best you can. Well, yeah, you're doing the best you can, but could you do something differently that would help you? Sure. But I think if you don't have people like that in your life and it's always an echo chamber or it's always a attaboy, you're never going to grow.
When you guys talked about stance, the thing that I was thinking about was, you know, having sustained the injury earlier this year with my ankle, I wore that ankle brace. I was doing all the rehab. And then I wore something on my ankle for a very long period of time, too long probably, because I was afraid to take it off. I was afraid to get underweight without that mm-hmm. extra support. But I think it partially, well, a couple things. One, the rehab that I had wasn't really everything that I needed for what we do on a regular basis. But the other thing was being afraid to remove those band-aids, you know? And you guys actually did say, like, it's starting to affect your stance. And I was feeling that it was affecting my stance because my knee hurt and my hip hurt and things were hurting that should not have been hurting. And it took you guys saying, yeah, it's affecting your stance. And then also then going to, you know, see Levi and having mm-hmm. him say, yeah, that rehab wasn't enough. Here, let me give you some more intense rehab. And it was more intense rehab. But
yeah, we need to give a shout out to Doc Levi Kirby at Kinetic PT.
Yeah. KPR and Winston. They're just moving, actually. I think they've just moved. They're now in Brookstown yes. in Winston.
Mm-hmm.
So look him up. Good people. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And he has a new person, Lauren, working with him alongside him, another PT. So mm-hmm. go check both of them out.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. she seems very nice. I haven't worked with her. Obviously,
yeah.
Levi's helped me with my shoulder, but and my back.
Well, Levi's helped all four of us with yes. things in the past.
Thank you, Levi.
Yes, yeah. thanks, mm-hmm. Levi.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that was the first thing that popped into my head, you know. But again, it goes along with what you were saying is having people in your life to help you see, hey, this is off. And I didn't say anything for a while, but, and I know you're afraid, but do you want to keep doing this? You know, do you want it to be like this or do you want to be better? Hmm. So.
And you wanted to get well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't want to be afraid.
It's interesting how easily we can fall into the trap of depending on that external support that the blankie,
mm-hmm.
you know, the external support that we think is going to help us and get us where we need to go. And what we really need is the human support
mm-hmm.
to say, this is not getting you where you want to go.
Yeah.
You also have to be open to that.
Mm-hmm.
True. It's unfortunate that a lot of people aren't. And I do think that when you surround yourself with people that you know care about you and people that have your best interests at heart, and you are open to who God says you are, and you are working on walking with Jesus and doing things that are honoring to God and to others, I think that the chances of that happening are much greater. When you're not walking with, or when you're not surrounding yourself with people who care, and you're not open to who God says you are, and you're not working on walking with Jesus and doing things that are honoring, then you're gonna stay dependent on those blankies, and mm-hmm. and your stance is going to continue to be affected.
Yeah.
Sorry to hijack your answer.
No, you no hijacking.
Okay,
you're the captain of the ship. Oh. Arr.
Of course. Of course.
Okay. Oh goodness. Do you have anything to add on stance?
I don't think so. No, I think the big thing is being open to feedback. Having an open stance to feedback is one of the best ways to get better. Because as much as you want it for someone as a coach, you can't really help fulfill that mission you talked about at the very beginning if someone doesn't have an open stance or posture toward, hey, how can I get better? And I'm sure with all three of you coaching on a regular basis, you would love to have more of your athletes come to you and say, hey, how can I get better in this area? It would be like a breath of fresh air. And I know you get it sometimes, but you probably don't get it too often, especially for those who have been there for a while and think they know.
What popped into my head, you know, that Meatloaf song? I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Right. That's a lot of times what it feels like with people coming for advice and coaching. I will do anything. I want to get better at this. Okay, here's what you need to do. I won't do that.
Just in coaching? I mean, like...
Well, I mean...
We call that an asshole.
That's yes. That's in all of life. Yes. Yes. But you were talking about specifically coaching, so yes.
I mean, that just... goes back over and over again. How many times, and I've been in as many as long as you guys have, but like I can think of multiple situations and multiple times just like, hey, I want to get better. And then you're like, well, have you thought about that? Oh, no, I can't do that. That's going to require too much.
Are you talking about spiritually?
Yeah.
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 I tried that one time.
That's not going to work for me. I mean, that's really hard. And see, you don't understand my situation. My situation is framed up this way. So that's not going to work for me.
You see, Brian, I only have 24 hours in a day. And I only have 7 days a week. And 168 hours a week. You don't understand, Brian.
I've done it too. We've all done it. I know we've done it. Like, but it's just funny,
Brian,
sometimes.
I'm a very important person. No, don't ignore the fact that I have 5 hours of screen time every day.
Oh, don't get me started on that one.
I'm going to turn it back.
You have the opportunity coming up.
Yes. I'm going to turn it back to Captain.
Yeah, sorry. I still want to go
Captain
V.
Room.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's weird. He made it weird.
All right, so do you...
I didn't try to.
Do you have anything to add on stance as far as outside of the gym?
No, I mean, I think we pretty much covered anything that I was going to say about
all right.
It was just all tied up for me. I'm sorry. I hijacked
that one. No. I think it's great. I said we were going to let it go where it needed to go, and it went, and we're doing great. And now we are on the last one, really. Often the most difficult. We'll save the best for last. Now it's your face.
Fix your face.
I can't fix my face.
Specifically your focus. In the gym, focus both where your eyes are looking and where your mind is going or not going can have many, many, many consequences or and or benefits if they're not in line with what you're trying to do. So an easy example is double unders. And I always tell people, you got to have your eyes on the horizon. You don't know, but if you're looking down, you're not going to jump soon enough. You're going to jump too late and you're going to trip on your toes. If you're looking up, you're going to jump too soon and you're going to catch your heels. You're going to step on your rope. Or whip yourself in the butt, which stings. But if your eyes are on the horizon and your gaze is where it needs to be, you're going to spin the rope and jump at the proper time together, coordinated effort. So that's my, there are many examples. I'm going to give you guys opportunity to say your favorites, but just like the other day with Josh, we have a new member and he was like, do I need a longer rope? I'm not getting this. And he was looking down the whole time. No, you don't need a longer rope. You need to fix your face. That's not what I said to him. But and sure enough, he wasn't magically doing 100 in a row, but he was doing 10, 15, 20, you know, after a couple of attempts.
We've had two new athletes in the last week come in and be able to do double unders basically the first day they tried them. That's not common.
No.
Pretty cool though.
It was cool.
Good job, coaches.
Wasn't me.
I'm not gonna own it totally.
Had nothing to do with me.
He's a pretty coordinated dude, but
both of them are pretty coordinated. Yeah.
Good job, Josh and Jesse.
Yeah.
Good job in our game of tennis. Because I didn't do any coaching today. I just said, watch this guy. Didn't do that. Just wanted to do with Jesse. And all of a sudden he did it. It's great. Sorry, go ahead.
Miss a good book. What about you guys?
Oh, the movement that I thought of was handstand walking. We've spent a lot of time working on that in the last year or so. And absolutely, I mean, not seeing where you're going is a very scary thing. So the propensity toward trying to crane your neck to see where you're going is very easy to do that. But it does not work.
No.
Get your body out of position, then you fall down. It's not fun. So learning to stay focused on just looking where your hands are, not where they're going, and quieting your mind to everything else is so key. Like That's one example in the last. I have three or four others in my head, but I'm going to limit myself to one so that everybody else has a chance to answer.
I like that one. I like it because there's so much there. Like in life, you can't, if you're always looking ahead, you're not being present. Hmm. You can't get to where you want to go. Hmm. There's more too, but. That was a great answer.
I would say muscle ups. That's a lot of what I'm dealing with right now with the bar muscle up. When you're back and pushing away, pushing down on the bar, and you're coming back and then having to pull yourself to the bar, I have to remind myself to get my head over the bar and try to find my feet. Find the floor, another F word. Find the floor so that I am not keeping my head back to where, because I can't get over the bar if my head stays back. It has to go over the bar and the rest of my body will follow. And so I know that intellectually, but I don't always do it. And that's my focus point in the gym.
Yeah, I default back. Everything defaults back to weightlifting, not necessarily CrossFit, but
it's an element of CrossFit. It's fine.
You know, so snatching. I mean, you know, if you're snatching and you receive the barbell and you look down, right, instead of looking ahead, or looking slightly down, chin tucked, whatever. But if you're looking down, immediately the weight goes where your hands, where your eyes go. I mean, it just falls down. You can't hold. Like if I catch a snatch like this, there's no way. Almost. I mean, my shoulders are not that strong, but there's almost no way for me to hold that bar. If I look down, the bar's coming down. Mm-hmm. So, and again, there's a lot there for me tied up into that. But yeah, mm-hmm. I think it goes back to the weight, managing weight, heavy weight. Doing on your own mm-hmm. is hard.
I think a lot of, well, like you said, when you're looking down, that's where the weight is going to go. And I could be totally wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure probably in the Book of Psalms is where you're going to hear the most about fixing your eyes and your eyes being, you know, if you're looking to God and focusing on God and fixing your eyes on God, then that's where your heart's going to be. I could be wrong. It could be another book that says it more, but I'm going with that.
There are a whole lot of chapters in Psalms, so
yes.
Laws of probability
are great. That are great.
We have 150.
So, but yes, talking about where you're looking mm-hmm. is where your weight's going to be. And
Hebrews 12 says to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
I pulled it. I had it ready.
You had it ready?
That verse.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's
right here. Highlighted in everything.
Wow. Two have become
highlighted
one.
Highlighted in everything.
We're on the same page.
Can I get credit for that?
Right? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And that's the last part. For the.
Ooh, they say pioneer instead mm-hmm. of author.
Mm-hmm. That's this fancy. Is the
That must
NIV.
Be an IB. Yeah.
Yeah. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, or right hand of the throne of God. And it's verse 3 for me that like really delivers that final punch. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because I think that's, you know, the big piece of focus and fixing eyes. It can be really easy to become disheartened in the gym or in life. But I think being able to fix our eyes on Jesus, to look at the way that he did life, to look at the way that he prioritized people, the way that he stayed connected with God in spite of all that he endured, which is way worse than anything I've had to endure. And if he could keep his focus, that helps me have an example of what it looks like to keep focus so that I don't grow weary and give up, become disillusioned or disheartened. So yes, I had it all pulled up and ready to go. So, great job.
Good job. Go team. Anybody else? Anything else? Focus outside of the gym?
Outside of the gym, I think distractions. Life is full of distractions. Back in the fall, I read a book called Digital Minimalism. And we've had conversations about minimizing your use of the digital. We're in a world of just massive addicts when it comes to our digital life, and it's out of control. I feel a loss of real conversation and connection. Like one of the words I heard someone use in a podcast recently was partificial. Like we're partly there because we're so immersed in this artificial world. We're partly in reality, but really not. And so we get like, you get half of a person a lot of times. And at times I've been half of a person in making myself available. And I think I really feel a burden for the upcoming generations because they've been raised in this world. And I know this is probably another podcast, but for me, I made some significant adjustments, like even with the amount of apps on my phone this past October, and they're on one screen. And it doesn't even fill up the entire screen, and I love it. Like if I don't use it, it goes delete. And it just, I don't know, simplicity of it is really nice. But I took social media off my phone, and I'm on it significantly less. And when I get on it on my laptop, I don't even really like it anymore. And I recognized that I was doing it before because a lot of times I was either bored, or I felt maybe restless, and there were harder things I needed to focus on that I didn't want to focus on because maybe I was tired. And now I don't have that go-to. And then when I get on, I'm like, this is a bunch of crap. Like, some of it's okay, but I'm not really missing out. And I feel more alive and more attentive and more focused. And I'm learning more and spending more time praying. And my spiritual life is improving. And the time for friendships that maybe I've neglected, like I've reconnected with friends I haven't connected with that don't live in my area. And so instead of looking at their life on social media, we're actually having conversations. Those are so much more satisfying than just reading that Johnny went out to pizza for his birthday. Oh, wow, look at the picture. Okay, like, that's it. And now I'm having a life-to-life conversation with people that I really value that I hadn't talked to in a while, and now we're back in some kind of regular rhythm, and it's so much more life-giving. So lessening the distractions in my life from the digital side has helped me have focus in areas that I want to have focus in and be more intentional with how I'm living my life. And I want to continue that momentum. So that's what I was thinking about in terms of focus.
Very good.
Thanks.
And I like everything you said. I like everything you said. And it probably could be another 5 podcasts.
I know Charles has been digging into stuff that is part of what he was referencing earlier, making some changes. And I do think it probably needs to be our next podcast or pretty soon.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it needs to be a podcast. I think it, and I talked to you briefly about this. I know we haven't really sat down and had conversations, but, you know, hopefully it's going to be a teaching at church. I think there's so much that I'm learning. And I haven't read the book that Brian read. I've done some documentary stuff that it went down rabbit holes and done some other stuff. Not necessarily in that book, and I'm sure it's probably very similar. And at some point I will get to that book once I get done with Dallas Willard and everybody else. But, but you know, again, I'm coming off of, what time is it? 6:55 PM on a Saturday night. And I'm coming off, like, I could have my phone right now. I haven't had my phone for 24 hours. I could have my phone right now. But I'm not really worried about having my phone right now. I know where my parents are. They're in Atlanta. If they need me, they'd call me. My friends are here with me. My wife's here. My kid's in the other room. I don't need my phone. And I think what's been life-giving for me over these last couple weeks is, to your point, taking social media off of my phone, putting it on my computer. It's no fun to look at on your computer. I mean, it's not, to your point, it's not made for that. So when you get on, it's like, ugh. Okay, I'm going to wish these people a happy birthday because I really and genuinely want them to have a happy, like, happy birthday. I want you to feel like, you know, I see you, it's your birthday, I'm celebrating you. Beyond that, I don't want to look at it. And it's and again, I'm not picking on anybody or anything or any ways, because I know we all use social media differently at this point. But it's to the point now where I don't think I'm going to be posting anything other than happy anniversary, happy birthday to the kid that's about to be 16, happy birthday to my friends. Like, I've come to some conclusions about social media and focus and fixing eyes on that. Even when I posted things in the guise of helping people on social media, right? I'm helping people. It really was about me.
Because you wanted the likes.
Because I wanted the likes, right? And I think deep down, that's the nefarious, the insidious part of social media that we don't, unless we truly take a step back. And I didn't understand it until I took a step back, that, like, oh, I'm really helping. Listen, man, when I talk about that, and I'm not going to give any specific examples because there'll be people that can figure that out, but you even look back at my own social feed and you're like, oh, like, I posted about weight loss, I posted about my accomplishments in the gym, and in the guise of, oh, I'm trying to help people understand that they can do this too. No, probably not. It probably was the fact that you wanted someone to say attaboy. Because I was looking for something that I didn't have elsewhere because that was being filled up with my time on social media. And it is, it does need to be our next podcast. There's a lot of podcasts coming down the road with that in mind, in that whole vein in line to me, being a disciple, being discipled. This all kind of ties in together for me. So, and I'm not going to, we're done with this podcast, but there's a lot coming. There's just a lot coming. And we are going to try, and I know Vanessa hasn't said this, but we are going to try to be a little bit more. We took a pretty big hiatus from the podcast, which it worked out for us in the season that we were all in. We needed a break. And hopefully we get more toward a regular schedule this year, but there's already podcasts in my head that we have that we could spend and do that would be, I think, beneficial for me, if anybody. And of course, it's all about me, so.
That's what I heard you say.
Yes.
On that note, do you have anything else you want to say about focus? Anybody? No. Anyway? Okay. So that's, I guess that's a wrap. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to explore how we can benefit from changing our grip, stance, and focus today and the importance of those things. Please follow us on social media. Like and share the podcast.
Oh, we're still going to use social media.
Yes, we're still going to use social media. Not yes, we are. The social dilemma.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. But please do. Like and share
I just won't
the podcast.
Use it.
And also, we would appreciate your feedback. Your honest feedback will help us to continue to provide helpful content to you and to up our game. And yeah. All right. So thanks again for listening. And we hope to see you again soon, sooner rather than later, again here on the F4 podcast.
Goodbye.
See ya.